Well, hey there. This is Debs, the horoscope lady, asking you, do you know where your planets are? Today is Wednesday, September 26, 2007, and everybody, just about everybody, I think, thinks the sun is in Virgo, but I would tell you that's in 9 degrees of Virgo. And right now, if you're somewhere on the East Coast, Scorpio is rising. You can't see that, of course, but the sun is up. And Mercury's in Libra, Saturn's in Leo, Venus is hanging way back in Cancer, Mars is in Gemini and will be there for an awfully long period of time, Jupiter's in Scorpio though, Pluto just got to Sagittarius at 2 degrees, Neptune is at Capricorn, Uranus is in Aquarius, and the moon is just past full in Pisces. So that sounds a little odd to you. Hopefully it'll be a little bit clearer later on. Today we have as our guest, I'm so excited she's back, Valerie Lemme. She is a sidereal astrologer up in New Jersey. Her website is Valerie, ValerieLemme.com. And, you know, she's wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. She's going to be here today to talk about retrogrades. Valerie, how are you?
Oh, I'm well today. Beautiful, beautiful full moon last night.
Wasn't it gorgeous?
Just watched it rise, over the eastern horizon, and it was absolutely amazing. And, you said retrograde planets. Very interesting subject. A lot is bantered around about retrograde planets, but I think, like so many things in astrology, things get passed down from hearsay rather than, you know, astute study or statistical analysis a lot of the times. But there's a lot of misinformation about retrograde planets and what they do and what they mean. For myself, when I'm looking for my clients particularly at a retrograde planet, I'm looking at really how much impact is it going to have in their horoscopes because of how long it stays there. That's really the biggest impact that I feel that it has. Also, the benefics, which we, you and I know, are Venus and Jupiter, seem to have a more profound effect when they are retrograde, not a more negative effect. And the malefics, or if you want to call them the more challenging planets, which would be Mars and Saturn and Neptune, they seem to have a more profound effect. So, for instance, if there's a trouble that knocks at your door via Saturn retrograde, which I think we're going to be talking about because that's one of the big ones that's happening right now, then it's going to revisit you not just at this time period, but also in the early spring of 2008, and then finally coming to, you know, a more direct, fast motion in the summer of 2008.
Absolutely. And I will ask callers, I'm going to ask you to call in a little bit, but I would like to get the bulk of this done. And if you have any questions for Valerie, please hold your calls for another 10 minutes or so. Retrograde planets, the big one, of course, everyone talks about, everyone, is Mercury retrograde. People who aren't astrologers. Mm-hmm. And even though it's going to be retrograde in October. But it, you know, that's the one everyone goes, oh no, and, you know, screams and runs around.
Yeah.
they do. God love them. If you could speak to that a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
I will. I think that is the one that gets bantered around the most because it happens the most times of the year. And, you know, it gets stale if you look at something like Neptune, which is actually, and Pluto, which are actually retrograde for 5 or 6 months out of the year. So what can you say about that? It gets kind of yawny, you know?
Yeah.
But then Mercury, this fast little planet that, you know, has so much to do about business and communication and commerce, and communications just, you know, our everyday activities, it does go retrograde at least usually about 3 times a year for a 21-day period of time. Now, what I have noticed is that it does not necessarily portend terrible things. Let's take a look at it just natally. I don't know if your client base or not or your listeners know that if you have Mercury retrograde oftentimes natally, if you were born when Mercury was retrograde, oftentimes you have a very astute mind, unlike the ancients who thought there was something negative about Mercury retrograde. No, actually, people with Mercury retrograde that I know personally are doctors, yep. research librarians, writers, computer programmers oftentimes, people who think more and then talk rather than someone like me who just talks.
I was going to say, I also find a lot of my friends, personal friends that have Mercury retrograde are funny. They look at the world a little bit different than the rest of us, and they're quick-witted.
Absolutely.
Funny.
Absolutely. And they do have that repartee, as you say, yes, that can oftentimes come. Because Mercury, like we said, is the communication, and it's an offbeat. It is slightly different than someone who was born with a direct emotion. But this whole thing about don't buy, don't sign, you know, don't travel when Mercury is retrograde is really, let's just look at it for as a bigger thing. If you weren't supposed to travel when Mercury was retrograde, the whole world would have to stop for 21
yeah.
days, and there are many, many flights that take off and land without an issue. The more relevant thing about a retrograde planet is it hitting your chart? And if it's hitting your chart, which planet is it hitting? For instance, I had a situation when I traveled to London about 2 years ago, and Mercury, you know, I talked to my astrologer like any good astrological student and teacher. I also have my astrologer. And I said, oh, you know, Mercury is going to be retrograde, and it's just hanging out right on top of my Saturn when I'm traveling. That's, you know, doesn't look too good, right?
Right.
And he just said, some kind of a delay. Just expect a little bit of a delay. That's most probably what's going to be, some kind of technical thing going on, you know, maybe machinery in the airplane. You know what? It did turn out that we sat on the runway and watched a storm approaching, and we just missed the storm. And we were, like, you know, you were sitting there, like, thinking you should have left 45 minutes ago, and there's the plane. So it was very interesting. But still, everything worked out fine. And so you really have to look at, is it angular in the planet, in the horoscope, you know, where it's hitting. But I remember one time having a client call me up and saying to me, is Mercury retrograde right now? I get a lot of calls like that.
Yeah.
And I said to her, no, it's, quite frankly, it's not retrograde right now. So, and I said, I have to tell you, this is really a bunch of hooey that goes around. And she got very offended. You know, I was like, I'm sorry. I said, what's happening in your chart right now? That's what you should be thinking about. Obviously, something's going haywire for you right now. And so, you know, that's more of what I would say to somebody who called me and asked me if Mercury is retrograde at the time. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But it's more that the fact that it's going to be staying there. And if a problem does happen when Mercury is at a certain point and you know it's going to go back there again and then, or stay there for a while, and then about a month later or so, 21 days later, it's going to hit that point again, which means the issue will be resurfacing. So it makes the situation a bit longer. Mercury is not considered a benefic or a malefic. It's a neutral planet. And so I really think it really has to do with what are the planets it's in relationship to. Today, interestingly enough, because I'm looking at it right now, it's approaching a sextile to Saturn, and it's in a trine to Mars. That is not the most auspicious configuration for Mercury, only because, and you think, oh, well, a trine and a sextile, why is that so bad? You know, but it's Saturn and Mars, and Saturn and Mars together mm-hmm. seem to create a little bit of put the brake on, take the brake off, you know. So it's kind of that circumstance that we might be feeling today.
Yeah, it's easy to have. Yeah, and that's actually, it's funny because I had been feeling like that all day. I had a ton of work to do, and then, okay, I'm doing this. No, I'm going to do this, and no, I got to stop and do this, and, 15 things calling me elsewhere. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just, you know, bugging out for most of it today. I'll start again tomorrow.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll make headway because that's
right.
It is a sextile and a trine, and so with effort and determination, you will. You'll do just fine, but there's that feeling. And also, Deb, you had mentioned something to me before we were speaking about the times right now. I've had several people call me up and just say, what is going on right now? This is so intense. And at first, the only thing I could really speak to was the fact that Saturn had just entered the sign of Leo. Most people think it's in Virgo now, but it's
Leo. It's just got to Leo. Yeah.
Yeah. And and so there's going to be trouble for authority figures. We know that, you know, for pontiffs and, you know, maybe even royalty at this time period, the next 2.5 years. But what does it mean for the... That doesn't really mean anything to me. I live in Woodridge, New Jersey. I don't know a king.
Right.
What does it mean to me? And I really started thinking about this because I think Saturn ingressing into a sign really does affect, or any planet that really ingresses into a sign, really does affect not only the people with the planets in that sign or in, you know, very terse relationship to that sign, but also to the general population because a consciousness change happens. And Saturn in Leo denotes a coming to terms with ego issues in your personal life. So you might feel really confronted, you know, by certain, you might feel confronted by the constraints of responsibility and burden versus your individual self-expression and freedom. That's how I have come to see this time period. And I think we're all feeling that in one form or another.
I think most people are. You know, several of the people have called me, you know, that saying, what in the world is going on? And it's funny because the first thing they'll say is Mercury retrograde. I'm like, no, this has nothing to do with Mercury. You're not even having Mercury issues, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
It's that knee-jerk reaction. But a lot of people that who have called me are either their sun sign is in a fixed sign.
Yes.
So it's Leo or Aquarius or Mercury or Taurus. And for our audience, I'm going to tell you what that is sidereally. Taurus sidereally is usually May 14th to June 14th. Leo is usually August 16th to September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpio is usually November 16th to December 15th. And Aquarius is usually February 12th to March 14th. And I say usually because depending on leap year, the international dateline, it can be... And the sun does not care about clocks, so you can be born on that day and be the sign before or the sign after.
Right.
It's not as neat and tidy. But I have found people who have either fixed signs, either...
Hello?
So I think we just lost Valerie.
Oh, no, I'm back.
Okay, oh, good.
Just for a minute. Okay, good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
but
so you were saying about the fixed signs, and I would agree that specifically, people with the fixed signs will be feeling that Saturn. And also, Debs, if I might not jump in here.
Oh, please do.
The fact that Saturn was also in a relationship with Pluto right during the August when it first went into Leo. This is interesting because these two planets, Saturn, Pluto, really determine such major cycles here on Earth. I once did a huge study looking at them over really the last century or so. The beginning of every world war, most political coups or takeovers or wars that had something to do with the way really the whole Earth consciousness would have changed out of that, the 7-day war in in Israel.
That's right.
Was all with a Saturn and Pluto configuration. Now, Saturn and Pluto means the changing of the guard, but it's also a lot of frustration and a lot of hard work. And sometimes self-destructive choices or just trouble in general. And I think, you know, for all those people that had those six signs, two of my clients yesterday, two of them, one with the moon in Scorpio and one with the moon in Taurus. really coming to me because they're having such a hard time. And, of course, the fixed signs have a hard time anyway making the changes that they have to make, you know, because they do stay on course so much more than more of the cardinal immutable folks. So,
yeah, no, change does not come easy.
Yeah, right, exactly. But to have both two of them,
yeah,
two young ladies all on the same day, it was just really interesting to me, you know, because their little worlds are being, you know, shook up somewhat.
Yeah. I would like you to talk about your view on Mars retrograde, which will be coming up. I do make a bit of a to-do with when Mars... I like following Mars. I like seeing, you know, what happens in people's lives when Mars, you know, shifts into a house. And I understand you use, what house system do you use?
I use Campanus.
Campanus, that's right. That's right. We talked before. I tend to use whole signs. But, you know, but same thing. It's all, you know, Mars goes in. And instead of spending 6 weeks in a house like it normally would or somewhere thereabouts, it, you know, can spend, if you use whole signs, as long as 6 months, Campanus, I imagine as long as 3 to 4 months, depending on how wide that is.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like what you were saying before. It's spending a lot longer in that house.
Right.
So, you know, it's like that just kind of stirs the pot in that house. So even before it goes retrograde, you know, there's things that are happening. So,
well, actually, there's. I would love to speak to that, Deb. There's two things there. Number one, that I think the station of the planets is even the more powerful time rather than when it's moving backward or forward. Interestingly enough, also one other thing I want to say just about retrograde planets in general. Ptolemy, who was an ancient astronomer and astrologer, actually thought that the planets spiraled in their circular motion because of the retrograde motion that he detected visually. It wasn't until Copernicus put it together that it was an eclipse, not a circle, that explained why you got the retrograde motion, and then they dismissed this, you know, little, like, spiral, like almost like the spiral graphs, you know, we used to make.
Uh-huh.
But people, the ancients used to think that the planets did this little pirouette, you know, like in its path, and that explained the retrograde motion, which is, from Earth, the vantage point of looking like the planet is moving backwards. Well, this is interesting because, again, with Mars coming up, it's going to be right in the middle or pretty close to the middle at 17 degrees. November 17th, it's at 17 degrees Gemini. This is very interesting because I took a look at some, I just felt moved to do that and also through a conversation with you about it, and I looked to see where some of the political agendas that are going on right now in the world.
Good for
and
you.
I looked, yeah, right. I looked at Bush's chart, and I looked at the new Iraq, which was formed on June 28, 2004. That was when they actually put together and was proclaimed a new country, you know, that they were going to do, yeah. And Mars really does factor in here quite significantly. Mars is going to be trining their Saturn sometime in late October, November, and that's going to be interesting. And when you look at Bush's chart, when you look at his chart, he has sidereal, the Sun, at 19 Gemini. So this Mars station, this Mars retrograde is going to be directly over Bush's Sun. And that's going to really mean he's going to have to make some decisive decisions about where we stand in Iraq and how he's going to deal with the troops that are there now. I looked at the United States chart, and this Mars trines the solar... I know this sounds very technical, but...
No. I love this. And please tell everybody which United... because there's so many of them. Which United States chart...
I do use a United States chart that most probably... I actually use Ken Bowser's United States chart.
Right. I figured you did, but, you know.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, but that's okay, because I use that to do the solar return for the year to just see. And this is where I really discovered the embattled feeling that all of America is having right now. Okay, yes, some of us are going to be happier, but we're going through crisis time. And this crisis is going to be continuing into 2008 as well. We have in the solar return for both charts Pluto in direct square or conjunction with an angle of the American chart. That means, again, and I really do think the elections in 2008 are, there is going to be a change of the guard, major, major, major change of the guard. People are ready for change. It just feels like that. Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be the Republicans that are going to end up in office. Or if it is the Republicans, it's going to be someone who's going to get in there and really, really change, even administratively, what's been going on so far.
Well, I was thinking if the Republicans do get in, it'll be like you said, it'll be like Giuliano Republicans. You know, it's like the guy, you know, he's a Republican, but he sure as heck votes and thinks like a Democrat, you know, for most issues. So,
right.
The new era. Okay, so for everyone, Ken Bowser and the United States chart is July 4th, 1776, up in
Philadelphia,
and he's got that just
12:16 p.m. Yeah, 12:16 p.m. Local mean time.
That's the tricky part for people to remember, the local mean time. If you've got a computer that does it, that's easy, but if not, we had him on the show, thanks to you, and he was lovely. Well, good for you for looking that up, because it does describe, and this is how I like seeing retrogrades used. They're practical applications, and people, of course, can use them in their lives, not just, for large things.
Absolutely. But the one thing I want to say about the Mars is that, this is interesting, the Mercury retrograde in October is going to be exactly opposed to the United States solar return Mars for this year, and so you are going to see policy and communication about what are we doing with our troops? Are they coming home or not? This is going to be a big issue coming up. I mean, I know we think it already is. It's going to be even more so. There's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of communication about it. And I do believe by the beginning of 2008, you're going to see people coming home because of this Mars retrograde, because it's trining, it's trining that Mars. And Mars in a national chart does indicate the army and the military. So, just like in a person's chart, it is the initiative, the drive, the force. In a mundane chart for the country, it is the military. So I think there's going to be new, different procedures for people who have, some of these poor people who have been there for so long and are beleaguered by the conditions. I think we're going to start seeing a difference there.
Yeah, I think so, too. At this time, I'd like to open up the phone lines for calls, for Valerie in particular, because she's not with us all the time. If you're in the United States, you can call 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And, if you have questions about your own chart, or since she has looked at the political stuff, you could do that also. Let's see, with the other retrogrades, you've touched on Saturn, and then I think I interrupted you. So you're talking about Saturn retrogrades, which, again, happens for a good portion of every year just because, it's far out there.
Yeah, and again, I have found just so traditionally and so consistently that people who are having Saturn, there are certain times that people come see me. And it's usually when they're having these major transits to either an angle in their chart or, like you say, the sun, the moon, something major in their chart. And Saturn really is, I have been taught, and it seems true, that Saturn really is like the cosmic cop. He's the tax collector knocking on your door saying, you owe. And, here's your responsibilities. It's also the planet of maturity and, being responsible. So we grow up when we have Saturn. But no one really, I've never met anybody who just went, can you do me a favor? I'd like more discipline and I'd like more responsibility just thrown on top of me. So I feel burdened, We don't really want
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not as a rule. No, no. You kind of wonder about those who do. But that, no, not as a rule.
And Saturn was retrograde earlier in the year, and then it went direct in April when it was still in Cancer. And there we saw the worst real estate quarter, which I have been predicting sidereally since Saturn was in Cancer. And now that it went into Leo, Ken has actually said that he thinks the real estate market's going to turn around. I personally do not. I think there are other factors, including the South Node, which is going to be going into Capricorn, which usually is the bottom of the market, and that's going to be in 2009. So anyone who wants to know what I think, and I actually think that the market will begin to pick up when Saturn goes into Virgo, because there usually Virgo has to do with the everyday folks of, you know, of this nation. And I think there's going to be new zoning laws and different laws that will help people to salvage some of these foreclosure situations and everything like that. So we have a little bit of a ways to go before I think that's really going to be turning around. But it is going to be going retrograde starting December 20th at 13 Leo, and it's going to be staying, just hovering there, you know, until about until May 3rd when it's at 06 Leo. So, again, anyone born at the beginning of the sidereal fixed signs, you know, the first week or so, are going to be having, you know, their share of responsibility. Actually, I am an Aquarius, Debs, and I just went through it. I just had Saturn oppose my son, and I can tell you a little bit of what happened for me if someone wants to be sitting there going, yeah, me too. And the opposition of Saturn to the sun is a major, major time of the life. It's a milestone. And my son, who had been with me since living here, going through college since 2001, or 2000 actually, left and went down to Florida to start his whole new life.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't until he was gone that I realized how much psychic energy had gone into keeping this young man in track and on in college, you know? And then I was free, but it didn't feel so great to be free.
No, no.
You know?
Yeah, those are the freeness, yeah.
It was sad, and I've seen that historically, that Saturn and that Sun usually triggered something to do with a major departure of one thing in my life and a start of something new.
Yeah,
and so it really did fit into that. And I was very tired, and I really most probably had about 2 weeks of absolutely feeling like I was no good to anybody, really. And I think that also happens when Saturn comes along. Your natural enthusiasm or optimism is kind of eclipsed.
No, it is. And I'm an early degree Taurus myself. And so I had the square, which is not the same.
Right.
It's still, you know, there's those events that just come up. It's like, oh, shucks. You know, well, should have seen that one coming. It's work, but the tiredness always gets me, too.
Yeah.
It's like you think, am I sick? You know, is something wrong? No, you're just tired. But fortunately, that does not tend to last, you know, the entire time or anything. That's it's in more of a limited kind of time.
Yeah, but you definitely do feel less willing to get up and do all the stuff that you normally do. Your natural energy level is always – but I have found a lot of clients, especially with the square – will start some kind of exercise program or a discipline with the square.
Right.
Because there's that feeling that something's got to be done here, which the opposition does not necessarily give you. You know, although I'm just waiting for Saturn to square. I also have I have the Sun square Saturn natally, so I just went through Saturn square Saturn. But I'm one of the lucky ones this time. I got away with not having Saturn retrograde back. So that Saturn opposed my son happened one time only. And it was deep.
Yeah.
But that's it. I can just walk away now. Yay.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Don't have to worry about that for another 14 to 28 years, depending on how I'm looking at it.
That's right, yeah.
That's a good thing. What do you find the difference between, generally, and if you see my website, I will, when it happens, I'll tout, because I kind of make a joke about it, but I find it, when Mars goes retrograde, first of all, aggression does not work, absolutely does not work, and I agree with you, I think the troops will be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And any time, and that's something I have seen over time, whoever the aggressor is during a Mars retrograde, it doesn't work out well for them because
mm-hmm.
it's not, you know, it's retrograde. You're not supposed to be doing that. I find in that case with men, I can ask them what do they feel about something as opposed what do they think about it.
Mm.
And they'll answer me. They'll get it. You'll get a more readily answered. And they tend to talk about their feelings more. I don't know.
Oh, and absolutely, since it's in Gemini now.
Oh,
I would say, of course, that's going to be true. And
I
think that...
I won't be able to shut my husband up, you know.
and like you're talking about, and you know, it's interesting that you say you use equal house, which for, I guess your callers know, that just means it's just 30 equal degrees for each sign. Actually...
Yes, starting at 0 degrees each time.
Right.
It's more the Vedic side, I guess.
Yes, yes. But I must admit that I do, to a certain degree, also eyeball the chart of a client and consider the equal system as I'm talking to them. And sometimes even ignore the fact that I'll see a planet in one house when I know that by sign it wouldn't be there, and I push it to the house that really I know Vedically or by equal house it would be in. And I find that that really works a lot of the times, too. So this Mars, it would really depend on where it is for the person, you know, their horoscope, you know. Where is the Mars retrograde in yours, Deb?
Oh, in mine, it is retrograding in my 11th house, when it finally gets there.
Which will be October, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have found, with it going into my 11th house quite pleasantly, things that I have done, not just the previous 6 weeks when it was in the 10th house, but things I've done in the past year or so are finally paying off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course.
Like, there are a lot of energy. Yeah, and I thought, okay, yippee, I can take 6 months of this. This is a good thing, you know.
Right, exactly.
So, but it does make a difference. As if someone's first house, I mean, they'll be making, incredible changes about, you know, how they see the world, how the world sees them. Mm-hmm. I was warning little old ladies, you know, I guess blue hair is still in fashion, but you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
You can do different things. So where is it happening for you?
It's going to be it's actually going to be in my 12th house, which is not so much fun. This has been a really, this has been astrologically a rough year for me. And it's going to be at some point squaring my moon and my Venus. So I'm anticipating that I'm going to be very busy, and also I know that with my Saturn square Saturn, I had to have two caps redone in my mouth. That wasn't a surprise because Saturn rules teeth, bones, hair, and skin, and joints, of course. And so most probably the surgery is going to be going on right somewhere in the October time period, you know, where it's going to be at first retrograde. But, I also feel like at a certain point when it's not hitting, I really don't think it makes as much as an impact. And to me, thank God, it doesn't go Mars opposed Mars, because that's one of the times that it's very difficult. But interestingly enough, like I said, it's going to be hitting Bush's sun, and it's also going to be going over the United States sun. You know, as well. So I find that very interesting. So I think, like, October, November is really going to be an interesting time, you know, for the country in general.
I think so, too. And, you know, it's nice to see there and to see it sidereally, you know, no matter what house system you use, you see it's like, okay, it makes more sense, or at least ways it does to me.
Right.
Venus retrogrades, those can be a very good thing, if you'll talk about those for a minute. You know, it's funny because, again, if people say retrograde, and when someone's born with a Venus retrograde, they're like, oh, well, I never find true love, you know, that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, actually, Venus retrograde, my son has Venus retrograde, and he has it in Taurus, so that's nice that he has that Taurus, you know, because it's at home there. It rules Taurus. But he does struggle with those issues. And oftentimes I think that someone who maybe doesn't try quite as hard in initiating, I think there's a reserve there when you have Mercury retrograde. Venus retrograde. But again, I think it depends on what are the planets, you know, that it's in relationship to. But Venus retrograde can oftentimes denote times when people have wonderful benefits coming into their lives. Oftentimes there's engagements, pregnancies, weddings, at the time that it hits a planet, because the issues of Venus are accentuated at that time period. So it was just, the fact is it just went direct in September, just this last September 8th, and that was at 21 Cancer. Right now, it's right at the end of Cancer. It's going to be catching up with Saturn. That's going to be an interesting time, because when Saturn and Venus are together, I think oftentimes people feel a little more shut down and cautious. You know, and again, it has to hit something in the chart, but still. So I would say, and I'm looking here, when does Venus go retrograde again? I don't think it's until 2008.
Yeah, it's in a ways from now.
Yeah, it is a ways from now. The fact is, it's not until... it may not actually be going retrograde in 2008. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's a year and a half of 2009.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
That's right. So it won't be. So we'll be free from that, you know, or not have the benefit of it. It'll just be direct motion off of 2008. But I'm going to, you know, I had a really lovely vacation. And, you know, and things, of course, really did start to feel better for me because Venus was also opposing my Sun when it went into about 2 Leo. So, you know, that was positive and conjunct my Jupiter and Pluto as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
that was fun. That was a nice time, you know?
Yeah. A few years ago when Venus was retrograde, I was I'm a member of the Astrological Association in Northern Virginia, and we were having one of our, you know, regular Saturday night meet and greets. And one of the women, you know, who is very interested in gambling with astrology, you know, she has a good time with that, and I enjoy, you know, going to the track myself. But she was saying, oh, no, you know, Venus is going to be retrograde going back and forth over your fifth house cusp. Now, for gambling, I don't use the whole sign house system. I'll use Coke or Campanus. Actually, I'll look at that, too, because, you know, they're a few degrees off. But, you know, if I can hit, I can hit. And I said, well, let me just see, you know, what it is. I'm not going to spend a fortune, but I went down when Venus was going over that cusp, and it did it three times, you know, forward, back, and forward again, and just picked up scratch tickets and won money every single time. I mean, decent amount of money. You know, it's a $1 scratch ticket, you know, pick up a $200. And I'm like, okay, this is not a bad thing. Everybody has to stop saying this is not a bad thing.
No. Venus will always bring, and it's called the lesser benefic, and, of course, Jupiter, which is retrograde as we speak. We actually didn't talk about Jupiter now.
Oh, I know. Isn't that funny? Yeah, I just, and we should, you know.
Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. It's not retrograde right now, but it was in August, and it really literally, it's direct in its motion, but Jupiter stays really pretty much, you know, around for a while. And so in July and August, and really going through all of July, it was at 15 Scorpio. And that, for anyone who had, for instance, the Sun at the middle of Aquarius or Scorpio or Taurus and or Leo, you would have had, even if other things in the chart were difficult, the optimism and the ability to, you know, be enterprising. And it was very nice for anyone who had that. That really did help out a lot of people. And I think a lot of the issues that someone has, like, let's say, a tough solar return year or something like that, when Jupiter comes along and it stays like that, it can give the person the feeling that finally they've scrambled up onto a boat above the rough waters and they can actually just rest a little while. So it's a really nice respite.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I was in retail years and years ago. Had a group of stores with my sisters and then moved on and had a bookstore on my own. And what I said was, you know, to myself, I'm going to be out of retail before Jupiter is retrograde during the traditional holiday buying season.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it when Jupiter is retrograde. People, they may be social, they may be out and about, but I noticed my sales drop every time it was retrograde. Not maybe not significantly, but, you know, well, significantly enough that I noticed. So sure enough, watched it get closer and closer. And, you know, you'd hear all the newspaper reports saying people are holding off to the last minute buying. They're holding off, holding off, holding off. And then we finally had the 1 year where it was retrograde through the entire month of December. And it's retrograde, what, 3-4 months? I mean, it's a good chunk of time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and when it was, people were like, oh, they're not buying. And there was this huge surge of, you know, making gifts or spending time with people or, you know, recycling gifts or whatever. And I thought, this is kind of a nice natural cycle that, you know, for spending, looking at spending patterns and what people feel free to spend on and what they don't.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad thing if people are not, you know, going into debt to give people gifts.
Right, exactly. You're absolutely right. And then, as you say, if you hold on to your money, well, that's not bad either, because if you're saving, then that's a good thing, too. It's just a different manifestation of, you know, where does your benevolence go? You know, where does that gift that you have go? Let's see, the other thing I want. Oh, yes, now Jupiter in early December, I believe, is going to be joining, or I'm going to look it up right now, but Jupiter is going to be joining Pluto and the Saturn, and I think that's going to help. You're going to have Jupiter in December, so I have a feeling we're going to have a good retail Christmas this year, despite everything.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, because you have Venus in Libra, which is doing very, very lovely in sextile in the beginning of the month to that Jupiter, and Pluto's there too. So, you know, and Saturn has kind of gone, you know, further away. So I think that I think people will be spending and having a really, you know, there'll be some nice things to be celebrating about that time of the year this year.
Well, there will be. You know, I think, a lot of troops, like you said, will be coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly, even if you don't have anybody over there, and actually I do know a handful of people, but I thought even if you don't have anybody over there, you've got to be happy just the thought of them coming home.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, people in the streets.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in December, Venus, I'm just looking at myself, at the early, December 10th or something, Venus will be trining Mars, which is kind of, you know, I think people will, they'll be a lot more social. Let's get out and do something. And
yeah, that's going to happen around the 12th.
Okay.
It'll be approaching that, you know, for that whole two-week period of time. And you're absolutely right. That does make people very social and more prone to demonstratively, you know, celebrate.
Yeah, but
I think it's going to be a nice holiday season.
It kind of lifts your spirits. Let me see. We hit retrogrades for that. I don't know how you view the outer planets so much, and you know, however you do is fine. I tend to see them more as social forces. Truly transpersonal, even though they are very personal when they are affecting your chart.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, the outer ones spend a much longer time retrograde during the year from our perspective.
Yes, 6 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, Pluto was retrograde this year from April until September, and Neptune was retrograde from, it's actually still retrograde and will be until October 31st. You know, as far as trends are concerned, I feel like, again, if there is an issue that is represented by the planet in the sign, it maintains that and holds it for a much longer period of time. And And I think just as it does for the broader, you know, issues. Well, let's see right now. Pluto. Okay, so right now Pluto is in Sagittarius. And as far as, you know, you would normally think Pluto in Sag would be, you know, resourcefulness if you look at it natally. But I think this is going to be continuing oil prices just going up and up and up and up, almost like ridiculously. Because now Pluto, which rules oil, is in the sign of Sagittarius, which is expansion. Who knows? They may even find a new place to drill or something like that. That might also happen. But I think that the people who own that commodity are going to make a lot of money, which means other people are not.
Yes, that's it. They've got to get it from somewhere.
Right, exactly. So I think there's going to be an increase while Pluto is there. And, of course, Pluto and Jupiter together, like we said, is also higher mind. You know, Sagittarius is higher mind. And certainly, although inventiveness is more, we think of Uranus and Aquarius, I think Jupiter is a feeling of positive communal associations. So I feel like alternative energy will also be coming to the fore while Pluto is in this sign. The other thing about Neptune and Capricorn, well, I really do think that that has had a lot to do with the issues that have happened worldwide that have to do with land and water, flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, the tsunamis. This all is very, very in keeping with Neptune in Capricorn, which rules the earth, you know, water and earth together.
Yeah, I'm going to be so glad when it's out of there. You know, it's been in my sixth house for, what, 13 years now or something, and it's like,
absolutely.
Okay,
right.
I'm ready for it to go. It'll feel different when it does.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah,
I think, and I also think what's going to be wonderful is when Neptune is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Pisces, we're going to have two of these outer planets, certainly more generational forces that are going to be working very well together. So I think you're going to have healthcare reform. I think you're going to have, again, really some new ways of looking at, I'm trying to think of what else. Well, because I really did feel like there was going to be, I think that's going to be the healthcare reform that this country is really looking for at that time period. But also an ability to have intuition and technology and compassion work hand in hand.
That would be pleasant. that would be pleasant, actually. And that's and I do, you know, not just for that time period, which it certainly will be, but for all the children born during that time period.
Absolutely.
You know, as
Absolutely.
They grow older, that will just be part of their consciousness.
Right.
And that'll be nice.
Like most people our age. I don't know if most people our age have Neptune and Pluto in a sextile most of the time, or at least I know, I think I do. I do. And that really does denote a really nice ability to generationally incorporate, the mores and the morals of your generation and also the optimism, because... Well, Neptune at its highest manifestation is that agape love.
Yeah.
And I was born with it in Libra, like most of the people for that whole time period.
Like myself also.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have this feeling of compassion toward other people. And, you know, that's where that's where the hippies came from.
Before we get out of here, I want you to talk a little bit about your practice and how people can get hold of you, either classes in your area or are you doing something online now or have been? Is that
No.
Okay.
Well, I am really fundamentally just a one-on-one astrological consultant. That's really my forte. I do have a sidereal study group. That is about four of us now. We meet once a month, and we just study the tenets of sidereal astrology. and so that we can talk to each other about it. And, you know, it's a lonely world out there for a sidereal astrologer. And my biggest experience is that is talking to people and having them say to me, which really is sometimes it's a little upsetting, well, the way you do astrology.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, it's not my way. It's the planet's way. That's where they really are, you know. It's like I just put them where they really, really are in the sky. And so how can that be my way? Because it's really not my way. And that's the beauty of it. There's such a wonderful click that happened for me when I became a sidereal, because I felt like I really did have the power of the planets truly behind me now, because I put them where they really are. And so they work much differently and much more consistently that way. People can contact me through my website, for sure, which, as you said, is ValerieLemmy.com, and or my business line, which is 201-935-4844. And I do phone consultations as well. I've been doing that for years. I always find that that often enough I study. I don't, you know, every astrologer is different, but I study for about 2 hours before I actually talk to the person. And it is uncanny so many times how right on astrology is when it determines personality and also issues that the person is facing. I have found it time and time again that I hit the nail right on the head for people, especially doing the sidereal method.
Oh, absolutely. Let me read, you've got a Grant Louis quote up on your website, which is brilliant, and I just want to read that for everybody. And again, her website is Valerie Lemmy, which is ValerieLemmy.com, ValerieLemmy.com. And you've got this great quote from Grant Louis, who was one of the greats, you know, great thinker. He said, astrology offers vital information about the self. That is you as an individual and that the forces that influence your life. It reveals hidden potential, untapped resources, and talents, as well as possible areas of deficiency. It is the most ancient, most validated, most followed tool of self-awareness yet devised by humanity. And I love that you use that, you know, because it sums up so much of, you know, what we do as astrologers and why we do it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you are sidereal, it's like, yeah, this is the tool the ancients did use.
That's correct.
You know, it's the one they devised. I'll share with you, what was it, last week I was, you know, it's fall now, you know, coming into the gift season, and the one book that I've written, is Gift Giving by the Stars. So this is when everybody, even though it's not, you know, intended as a holiday book, this is, you know, when everyone asks me to speak, and I say thank you when I show up. And I know when I start how it's going to happen. So I spend the first part of it, you know, talking about the social factors of gifts and giving mm-hmm. gifts and, you know, how to observe for yourself what kind of gifts people like. And then, you know, part two, we go into the astrology of gift giving based on their sidereal signs. And the same thing, astrology as you practice, what is that, you know, and like this very quiet room gets very noisy mm-hmm. because you've just simply told all of them that they have a different sun sign, or most of them,
right?
And it's like, it's almost funny after a while, because, you know, I'll say to people, you know, you're only married to this way of doing it because you've been with it so long. You know, you've been with it so long, and it is right now a little bit lonely to be a sidereal astrologer, but I think, I mean, you know, my mission is that it won't be after a while.
Yes, and that's my mission as well, is to, but I will say one thing. When a client comes to see me, and some of my clients who were with me when I was tropical and then changed over, didn't even know that I changed over, because when I am in a consultation with a client, I do not use astrological jargon.
No.
Everything is put into layman's terms. And so we're talking about career, we're talking about family, we're talking about responsibility, we're talking about travel, and I don't have to tell them where a planet is, and they really, most of them don't really care.
They don't care.
It is only
the
student that actually asks me, can I follow along? And so for someone who is more of a student, What I do is I send them the charts so that they can look at it as I am going through it. But that's for the person who's more of an aficionado than, you know, most of the people who come to see me, who really don't care, quite frankly, what sun sign they are. They just want to know, you know, this is what they'll say to me. Well, are you accurate? I go, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I say, well, then that's all I care about. I go, okay, good. I have found a couple of people who have been very married to a certain idea of themselves. So, you know, I mean, hey, I had to give up a Leo ascendant and become a Cancer. But you know what was funny? It fit. It fit me so much more than the Leo ascendant. It really, really did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
So,
I have to give up a few things myself, and looking at that,
you know, suddenly I understood, you know, some of the issues I had in relationships with Capricorn on the seventh house. It changed things, you know.
It made sense.
That's sense. Right, exactly.
Well, Valerie, thank you. We're out of time today, and please come back in another 4 to 5 months.
I will.
I would love to have you back. And
it was great.
All right, this is Debs for BBS Radio. Tune in next week, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and always, I know you all are excited listening to the callers, but you can always call in and ask a question about yourself. All right, bye now.